This group and all their time and talents, been faithful, have a great influence on others. We got a guy like that that's moving to Texas, and I think he thinks he's going there because Texas will succeed from the Union. But I'm not sure about that. But he's going there to be with near children and grandchildren, but he's going there also to start an influencers group that he's already got going in Texas. But Glenn McGill. Glenn, come up here, buddy. Glenn is main ministry. There are tribal pastors in the bush in Africa singing songs. He sent me a video one time, and they made a song out of Man of God Absolutely. And this one pastor standing there with the Temptations behind him, about six pastors. And he's going, Man of God. And they're going, Absolutely, in the background. And because of Glenn McGill, there's influencers groups in Zimbabwe and
Zambia, South Africa.
Zambia and South Africa, three countries in South Africa that are got influencers groups there. So Glenn is one of the most loquacious guys I've ever met. That was my word in my dictionary yesterday. And what it means is excessive talk. But I usually can't wait to hear what he has to say. I asked him, I said, I want a parting shot. I want you to give us a parting shot as you're leaving and heading back to Texas. So, Glenn?
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's great to be with you. This group of men means a whole lot to me. I was, most of you maybe know that I was a hard sell. I had a Bible study in my home for 10 years. And there's this one guy in my Bible study that just got so annoying. Every time he would say, you know, I got a group of men, we meet every Friday morning, and you should really come. And I said, you know, Fridays are just a tough day. I'm playing catch up on Friday. There are things I didn't get done all week. It's the wrong day for me to do any kind of study. So I said no, and then he asked me again, and he asked me again, and he asked me again, and every time a topic would come up, he says, you know, we just were talking about that on Friday. And he asked me again, and he literally, I'm saying, asked me over a dozen times. And finally, just to shut him up, I came here once. And I don't know how long, 10, 15 years ago, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a long time, and it's changed my life. When I came in here and Bill Cobble first came up to me and said, man of God, I said, gee, I sure work at it, man. That's what I said. I was ordained in the ministry in 1999, and I'm saying that because my standard is not where I want to be. You know, I look at the Lord, and I'm woefully inadequate compared to him. And so I measured myself that way. But that's the enemy's words. And when I got the idea of claiming a man of God because of our aim and our commitment, not because of our performance, it changed my life. And I realized that my day when I started it here, my Friday was much more productive. I need it here. You know that we ball teams will have chapel before the game, not after the game. So if you have an important day, a Friday of an important meeting, be here. I mean, it's important. It's important to start your day this way. What a fool I was. And it changed my life. And I've had such great friendships. And I've seen so many ministries launched. Every one of you has a ministry. Every one of you. And I love what Pete says. Pete's just been, you know, anytime I can spend time with him, you know, I love it. But he says, I want to choke on your dust. I want to choke on your dust. Well, I'm praying for a dust storm because I want to choke on all of our dust. It's a great thing. And what I see here is influencers. You're all influencers. We're not just Christians. That is so much. We are so much more than that. We've been placed here with a divine plan. Our desire for sports, our craving of sports, we think is just, well, I just like sports. I suggest that it was placed in there by God Almighty because we're made for battle. We're made for battle. We're in the game. We tie up all of our time with sports because we crave it. And we don't get enough from all the professional baseball, football, basketball. So then we invent fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy. See, that's how much we crave it. But Every one of us stands on the battlefield, and the coach is looking to us. Can I give you the ball, man? Can I give you the ball? It's a big deal. It's Father's Day. And I was part of, first of all, to have my son and grandson here, what a treat this is. We're going to... We're going to leave tonight and drive to Texas and have a wonderful family trip. His family and my wife and I in the motorhome. And it's just a joy to have him here, especially Father's Day weekend. But I was part of the beginning of Rock Harbor Church. And early on, we began life groups. And we had what's called Shepherd's Walk, or Shepherd's Training. And in that training, we talked about what it means to be a shepherd and how you can influence the lives of others. And the man that taught it was a pastor by the name of Troy Murphy. And he showed a clip from the movie, the 1993 movie, The Sandlot. Maybe you know it. It's about kids playing baseball. If I had time, we'd show the clip, but I don't. But suffice to say, it's about a guy called Smalls who was not good. You know, he's out in the outfield. The ball's hit over his head. He falls down. The ball goes over his head, and he's humiliated. His father tries to play baseball with him, and Smalls misses the ball and hits him in the eye. He's got a big black eye. He knows he's no good. He knows he's no good. Benny, the team captain, comes over to the house and says, "Come on, Smalls, let's go. We got to go. We got practice." He says, "No, I'm not going to go. I'm no good. I'm no good." He says, "Oh, you just need a little practice, man. Come on. Come on with us." He says, "I don't have a glove." He says, "Here, take mine. Come on." And they went off. And Small's life was changed. And then Troy Murphy said, in 1984, I was a Smalls. I knew I was no good. And then a man in my church saw something in me that no one else saw. And because of that man, today I'm a pastor. That's the power that we all have. You all have. Today, when the absence of fathers is epidemic. You know, the world we grew up in is so far from the world today. You have kids that have three or four fathers in a family, and most of them don't even, you know, want to spend time with them. And if mother's dating someone, the kids are in the way. They're not what he's there for. He's there for mom. Men, you want to have a divine mission? Tell a young guy that he's awesome. Find yourself a Smalls and tell him he's awesome. Tell him it's awesome not because of his performance, because he's made in the image of God. Say it in the name of Jesus. I suggest, you know, there's so many of us here don't have any color left in our hair, you know? I think we'd have a lot more color, hair with color in the room if we all did this. And we said, "Come on, Mr. Awesome, come with me to Influencers, and we'll have breakfast afterwards." I really believe that this is something that we need to do. Be influenced in someone's life like this. I have a personal testimony in this regard. Dustin is my oldest son from my second marriage. But I was married very young. I got married in 1971. I was 19. It was because abortion wasn't legal. Honestly, how sad is that? How sad is that? I grieve for the people that have ended the life of what could have been a great man. My ex-wife, we married for about 5 years and then divorced, and she disappeared with my son. He was gone from my life all growing up. I tracked him to Colorado, and I ran out of money because you had to have a lawyer in every state. And eventually, I just had to give it to God and let it go. We reconnected when he was an adult. I tracked him down in the Army. What happened, I saw a thing on the Internet. I would do 1-800-US search, and I'd get an address and send a package FedEx, and it would always come back. And I just thought he was rejecting me. And then on an Ancestry site, I saw a little message that said, "Looking for information from my family, for my young daughter. Information about my family for my young daughter. V. Glenn McGill IV. There's only one V. Glenn McGill IV. I saw that he was in the Army, and he was in Colorado Springs. Or no, he's in Fort Carson. And then I called the Army recruiter. I tracked him down. We ended up getting to talk with him. I got to talk with him. And he was being transferred to Las Vegas to oversee the recruiting command in Las Vegas. I went to meet him there in the year 2000, Father's Day. Father's Day weekend. Randall Cunningham was speaking at Spring Lake Church. It's a Calvary Chapel just outside of Las Vegas. We were sitting up front, and my son was a big Eagles fan. And he said, "Dad, I can't believe this. Pinch me and tell me it's real." And that's what I was saying, because I was sitting with my son, who'd been gone from my life. I didn't want to talk to him about the Lord at all, because I just wanted a relationship. I just wanted a friendship. And what I didn't know about him is he hated me, secretly. His mother had told him, we last lived together when he was 4, and his mother had told him that he saved her life, and that I was beating her so badly that he had to run to the neighbors and get the police to save her life. He heard that from little on up, and it became a reality to him. And he kind of remembered it like he was 8. As a father with a huge distance between me and my son, you know, you can speak into the life of someone's son easier than the father can many times. And what happened is Randall Cunningham started a Bible study and then a church and became a great friend to our family. And what I didn't know is all of this animosity and hatred. And Randall Cunningham did something so magnificently beautiful for me to help walk us through the pain and understand and learn the truth. It changed my life. He was a Benny to me and my son. He changed my life. I couldn't have done that. Men, we have the influence on young men that their dads don't have. You know, by the time they become adults, they don't want to hear anymore of our suggestions and our advice. Randall I just owe so much to him today, and I owe so much to this organization today. I am liquidating my assets, my personal belongings, because I can't fit in the motorhome. I have lots of books. I have 3 cases of books there. I want to sow into the ministries of you, all of you. And don't say you don't have a ministry, because every single one of you do. Here's an example. Choosing to cheat. Choosing to cheat. What does that sound like? It's cheating on your wife with your job and your career. Guilty as charged. It's Andy Stanley. But there's a lot of books back there. If you want to, please help yourself. Take them. I'd like to see them all gone. If you can't use one, sow into the life of someone else. My son was in the Army for 22 years and retired today, and he's a great man of God today. I'm just so grateful to have him in my life. In 1993, he was part of a battle in Somalia that we know as Black Hawk Down. He was with the 10th Mountain Division. They came in and pulled those guys out in the morning. And so that has been part of our family history. In fact, we're having the 25th anniversary of this next year. Everyone, the 10th Mountain, will all be meeting at Fort Drum in New York and remembering and, celebrating that the victory there. It was a tough, tough fight. We've put together some clips from that movie that really, really are you. You know, it may not be a physical battle like that, but actually it's much more difficult. You're on the battlefield, and this is your time. You're going to hear words like, "I can't do it." And the answer is, it's what you do right now that matters. It makes all the difference. And he says, "Why do you do it, man?" It's about the man next to you. It's about the man next to you. Don't let that man crawl. Somebody help that man. This is what we do, man. This is what we do. This is what we do. And it ends this way. Nobody asks to be a hero. Sometimes it just turns out that way. And I believe that this room is full of those men. So you want to show that clip?
Fight the rest. We won't leave you behind. Fight the rest. We won't leave you behind.
Where's the rescue squad?
We're in.
Do it.
It's what you do right now that makes a difference.
Hey, people ask me, why do you do it, man? They want to understand it's about the men next to you.
Don't let that man crawl. Somebody help that man.
That's all it is.
No one gets left behind, you know that.
Nobody asks to be a hero. It just sometimes turns out that way.
Who is the young man in your life that has a hand extended back like that? That you could make all the difference? If Randall Cunningham hadn't been in my life, I would have never known. See, he dug into the difficulty we had in our relationship. He exposed things that I never would have seen. And we can speak into the lives of young men. And if you could just take someone on, and if it's just saying, you are awesome, the Lord told me this. You know, you are awesome. You are awesome. I would love, I'm so passionate about influencers. There is no organization like this. You know, you could talk Promise Keepers. It was great. I mean, we became better fathers and men. But to be known as an influencer, to start every day with, Lord, thank you for making me, giving me the opportunity to be an influencer. Lord, increase my influence. Send me, direct my paths. Use me to show your majesty and your glory. Let my life shine in the lives of others. We dare not put our light under a bushel. We dare not. I really feel passionately about this, and every one of you that supports this organization, I so thank you. Do you think the world would be different if there would be 10 more churches in America? How about 50 more churches? How about 100? How about 10,000 more churches? Do you think the world would be different? But I suggest, if the world could grab what we have here, men with all these different churches, we don't bicker about if we raise our hands or don't raise our hands or tap our feet. We don't bicker about those things. We stand united in Jesus. We stand united in Jesus. There is nothing like this. We have not an army. We just celebrated the great Normandy invasion, the longest day. What an incredible battle that was. The reason it was successful is because it was an allied assault, an allied effort. Countries with different likes, dislikes, and different situations put down their differences and locked shields. If we did that, we wouldn't be 50,000 churches, 50,000 militias, all dedicated, but unable to work together. We could be an army. Nothing could change this world more than influencers spreading like wildfire across this country. I just believe it so passionately. I'd like to, I want to give this football, it's a Randall Cunningham signed football away. I don't know if anybody wants to donate $200 to influencers and write a check, I'll give this to you. But I really want to consider, you know, consider a monthly gift. Even if it's $5, $10, just to say I'm in. I'm in. You know, just to say I'm in. I'm in. If you can afford more, fine. But make it a regular gift. Make it an automatic gift or something. I just think if we could do this, we could change the world. I thank you guys. I mean, it's an honor to stand with you. One day we're going to stand before Jesus together. But I'm going to sneak back here once in a while. And I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me and what all of you have done for me. Spending time with you has just been fabulous. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you. Hold it for a second. $200, huh? For that football. Did you hear the pitter-patter of little feet back there while Granddaddy was talking? I want to ask Dustin and DJ to come up here right now. Come up here, guys. This is Father's Day, and we want to put an exclamation point on what your granddad did, little man. Dustin's one of those guys that I was just starting to get to know when he moved to Texas. And I tried to keep a leash on him and try to do that because he is such a young and gifted guy, and he married way up. He's got twins at home that are turning 3 years old here pretty quick.
All boys.
And so he's got three boys. But because he has DJ here with him today, I thought it'd be real good because DJ's got his act together. Man, he knows a man of God, absolutely. But I thought it'd be really, really good if you could anoint your son today and put a wristband on him.
Can I share one thing real quick, too? I want to share something that one of you in this group has done for me and strictly was used by God to help me through my path. I mean, we have paths that are put on our heart, and we don't know why they're there, and we feel this urge or drive to go somewhere and do something. And a point in my life when I was married is I knew Orange County wasn't for me. I knew there was something here that just wasn't where God was calling me. And there was a time where I went through a tough part financially. 2009 happened, lost my job. Didn't know what that was like. That's time when Pete really spoke a lot of truth into me. And used that time to really find who I was and where I was going. And I had a point where I was living a life making a lot of money, and I built up some debt, which is no big deal if you're making money. But if the money's gone, then all of a sudden it's different. But I had a gentleman in this room that came alongside me and listened to tugs on his heart from God. And along the same line my father was talking about, you guys have influence on people in your life. And that was Bob Graybar. And I want to publicly thank you because you listened to a voice inside your heart. Tearing up right now thinking about it. But it's one of those things where you listened, and it was something that got me through a critical phase. And I would not be where I am in Texas right now if it wasn't for someone in this room. So I just want to share that real quick.
That's a good word. Amen. Now, DJ's a little small to really get all the concepts of man of God. But what we do when, for you guys who are fairly new and haven't seen a man of God anointing, the Lord gave me this man of God thing about 15 years ago. And I've, over from Africa to Germany to Ireland and Scotland and all around the country and a lot up and down California, we've, probably in the last 10, I can't remember how long it is, 10, 12 years, probably 5,000 or 6,000 men have been anointed men of God. And so we anoint them, and then we put a wristband on them. Did you get a wristband? All right. And this is a little wristband that says man of God on it. And so what we do is we ask guys, there are three important questions when the guy becomes a man of God and tries to understand what Glenn was talking about. When he was saying, are you a man of God? And that's a typical answer. You try it at church Sunday with some of the guys at your church or a friend and just go, man of God. Well, I'm trying. Well, I'm not there yet. Well, and you know, we believe that you need to know for sure that you're in your identity, that you're a man of God. Because if you don't know you're a man of God, you're not going to the next level. And so it's real important that you understand that I am a man of God. That's my identity. Now, I may not be the most mature, and I'm not finished. God's still working on me, but I know I'm a man of God. I am a man after God's own heart. And so first question is, do you love Jesus? And Jesus says, if you obey me, you love me. This little man gave me a positive back here on that. But that would be the first question. Do you love Christ? That's what he asked Peter, right? When Peter had denied him three times and Jesus was going to restore him to ministry and relationship, he didn't say, Peter, have you led anybody to Christ lately? Peter, have you read your Bible every day this week? Peter, have you memorized any verses? Have you given to the synagogue? And generously, have you served vigorously? He didn't ask any of that stuff. All he wanted to know is, Peter, do you love me? If you love me, you'll obey me. Peter, do you love me? So that's the first question we ask a guy that's going to be anointed. Do you love Jesus Christ? Second question is, do you find your identity in Jesus? We've been talking about that here when we were talking about vision the last few weeks. If I really wanted to get to know you, what would I need to know? In other words, how would you answer that question? We ask each other that question in our retreats sometimes. If I really wanted to get to know you, what would I need to know? And hopefully, you know, most guys start with job. Well, I've got this job. I got this little boy here, and I got twins at home, and I got a beautiful wife, and I work at the bank. And that who we are defined by our family, by our performance, our work, our jobs, our hobbies. But here's what a man of God answers that question, because he is so oriented. He loves Jesus Christ. You'll need to understand that if you really want to get to know me, that I love Christ and that I'm his disciple. I'm a man of God. I make all my decisions with the gospel of Jesus Christ in mind. So to understand me and why I do some of the things that I do, then you'll have to understand that about me. So we ask a guy, do you find your identity in Christ? And finally, we ask him this question. Do you want to spend the rest of your life learning to become just like Jesus? Well, see, that's an important question. And when Susan and I started going through our journey that we're going through with her cancer and all this stuff that's going on, the Lord reminded me of that. And he said, when you said, do you want to spend the rest of your life learning to become like Christ? Do you understand that this is the kind of stuff where you learn to be like Christ? This is where your faith grows. This is where you understand and you spend more time with me. This is when I have your attention like I've never had it before. And then we tell guys, real ministry is creating an environment where the Holy Spirit is welcome to come and help himself to our lives. And so just like Jesus would say to you or me, can I help myself to your life? I help myself to my son's life. Can I help myself to your life? Are you available? And so we had to decide, is that the small print that you have brain cancer if you say, Lord, help yourself to my life? And what we found is we don't need to be afraid of that. These are opportunities and gifts when you really have given your heart to Christ. It's not a disease that has to be fatal, can be. But God is a God of all diseases. And God is a God of healing. And God is a God of building and rooting and establishing in the faith that we have in him. And these are all the ways that God does that. And I had to decide, and we had to decide in new, fresh ways, are we in or out? You want to spend the rest of your life learning to become like Christ. Well, if you can answer those questions in a positive way, then you're a man of God. Absolutely. And so when we first did this, that's the question that I asked. The first guy I ever anointed was a guy named Bill Cobble. He happened to be at the retreat when God gave me this man of God ministry. And so I said, I'm going to come down the front row. Now you know what a man of God is. You know the three questions. I'm going to look you right in the eye and go, man of God, and don't you look away. Because you try that on your friends. Man of God. I don't know. I said, don't you look away. You look me right in the eye and you say, absolutely. Because you're not confused about what a man of God is. And so that's a drill today. So right now, DJ is going to get anointed by his dad. And you don't have to ask him the three questions. He just heard it all. He's in. But I want you to anoint your son. And I want his granddaddy to come up here and pray over his grandson. There you are, Glenn. Come up here. And after he's anointed DJ, and I want you to anoint him and tell DJ whatever is on your heart as a dad as you anoint him.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you guide my oldest son to be the leader for his brothers, and that he would become strong like a hero and become a leader and to help to have the strength to overcome challenges as they come. Thank you so much for DJ. He's such a man of God. Man of God?
Absolutely.
All right.
Say it loud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a thrill this is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a thrill it is to be your men, to be your men. We stand at the ready to serve and to go and to do. We look to you to lead on. One of the important things that we must do, Father, is to prepare the next generation. The world that I was handed is not the world that I'm handing my grandson, and it grieves me. Help us to speak into the lives of these younger generations about the power, the majesty, and the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for DJ. Thank you for my wonderful son who's grown up so strong in you. But bless little DJ. Help him to be that leader. Help him to become a daddy and to become a wonderful man of God, a pillar to those around him. What a thrill it is. Again, we will be in heaven long before he arrives, but one day we'll all stand before you, Father. Can't wait for that day. Thank you for DJ. Thank you for his daddy. To you be the glory. We pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, let's don't take for granted what God is doing here and what God has done and what God wants to do in the days ahead. I think what we're saying here is your life matters, and it matters how you live your life. And we live in a culture today, and I agree with what Glenn said. I don't think there's anything that I personally could be doing that's more important, that has more opportunity to impact and change the world than to build in the lives of men just like you. It's all about relationship. It's all about character. It's all about vision and focus. It's all about men who aren't confused about who they are or what their mission in life is or what the meaning of life is. We got that down. We understand. And so we go about our business going out that door today to give them heaven out there. They got enough hell, amen? Amen. And we're getting an increasing amount of that every day. And so we need some men out there that are spreading the gospel through the way that they talk and treat people, the way they love their wives, the way they father their children. There's still hope in that. And you're the guy. Don't wait on the guy next to you to do it. The guy in front of you or behind you, you be the man. You be the guy that makes it a commitment, that goes, takes, God, take me to a new level in commitment. Whatever that means, whatever you're going to do to help yourself to my life. If it will, Oswald Chambers said in November 1st devotional, he said, if God has to break my heart to accomplish his purpose in the world, then I'm going to thank him for breaking my heart. Well, guys, that's, wouldn't you say that's a deeper level of Christianity than we're used to? So anyway, that's what we're buying into here. We're saying, God, you helped yourself to your son's life. Help yourself to my life. Whatever that means, because you'll give me the grace, you'll give me the wisdom I need, you'll give me the strength I need, the patience I need, the fruit of the Spirit. It's all available. There's nothing that he's withheld from us so that we can stand in the face of danger, we can bear up under suffering, and we can sacrifice for the good of others. That's what we need in our country today. It's not partisan politics. It's not about politics. It's about men living their lives for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I want you to get out there and give them heaven, lock shields right now, to join hands, stand up right now, and let's lock shields, because that's what where the strength is. The strength is in our numbers. And so, Father, that's what we're praying right now. We just, as we head out the door today, we're going out there to represent Jesus Christ. We're your ambassadors. You've given us a ministry of reconciliation. You've given us everything we need. May we honor that. May we prove to be faithful. May we prove to all the things we sang today, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Go give them heaven, guys.